When travelling internationally, you expect to give up some personal information about yourself to border security. It's kind of part of the contract. Your passport, your luggage, and occasionally even your biometric data. Well, if you plan on visiting the United States, you could soon also be asked to declare your Facebook and Twitter profiles as well. Lucky them, they can follow me too. US Customs and Border Protection has proposed adding the requirement in an effort to help screen for terrorism risks. Dr. John Quinn is the head of the Border Security Program at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Hi, Patricia.
What do you think of this idea? And I can't imagine it being helpful, but do you think it could be?
Look, I don't think it is. And I mean, there's a couple of things to it that it smacks of. And number one is that, and bearing in mind, I caveat this for your listeners as well, I'm a 43-year-old man, so I don't think, and I had come out of working long-term in government, I don't think the people who have developed this policy understand social media, for starters, and the diverse nature of it and how people use it today. It's not just something, you know, it's not a single line. I use Facebook, but you know, I work for a strategic policy institute, so, you know, I use a range of different platforms, etc. So I just don't think people understand who have come up with this policy. Number two, so the problem now, and having come out of working for government, there is no doubt we need to have new information sources at times, but the amount of data that's coming in, it's phenomenal in these intelligence type and security type positions. And so I'm not sure that that's particularly helpful. And number three is that, they're talking about putting it through as a voluntary issue, but for those people who don't get the automatic visas. So what I can see, it just has a bad taste of being very mercenary at the airport, which is what you don't want to help security, you know, with those sorts of questions to people arriving in the US. But, you know, the worst part about it is, and probably the most likely reason it's being introduced voluntarily, is that already the debate is saying, well, voluntary production of your social media attacks is a bit of a social media account is a bit of a lame duck. So, you know, perhaps we should make it compulsory for everyone to provide it. So it's a bit of a thin wedge, I think, in policy.
Why do you think they're proposing this then? I mean, is it just for the optics, if you don't think it really does much?
Look, there's a lot of things in crime control and strategy that's about making people feel feeling warm that, you know, something is being done by government. A good example is, you know, after the Brussels attack, Patricia, we saw this sort of people saying, let's move the checking of security to the curb at airports. And it's like, well, actually, that actually doesn't change anything. All it does is change the risk factor and puts it in a different location. So, you know, you're no longer checking people after the doing security checks after they've checked in. Instead, before they check in, you're concentrating, you know, 1,000 people outside on the curb in Brussels or in Sydney. So I think, number one, is people like to put in policies in place after these sorts of events, or where they start getting frightened and people going, well, you know, what are you border people doing about social media? So, you know, it's a quick policy knee-jerk to throw it out there. We see it all over the world. You know, I always have a little chuckle to myself. The Cambodian government in Phnom Penh were gifted a whole heap of hand scanners, and most of the time that doesn't actually save anywhere, nor do the Cambodians themselves have a system whereby that they can sufficiently have the analytical capability to compare and contrast every set of fingerprints and handprints that are scanned in. So it's just for show.
The issue is, though, that they're trying to monitor social media for security risks. If this won't work, what actually works then?
Look, I mean, you know, and I've said this before, and after every time we have any form of terrorist attack, people always ask the same thing. And, you know, after we've seen the more recent attacks, you know, there are no, this is one of those real world prickly problems, and there's a throwaway line for you, where there's no golden solution. So people like myself and in government more broadly have over the last 100 years working in Western liberal democracies, have had the benefit of being able to, where there's a problem, go through a lengthy policy cycle and develop a, you know, a programmatic solution that provides 100% a solution to a problem. The world's a little bit different now, and I don't think there are any comprehensive single policy solutions to the problem of terrorism and to the problem of, you know, how do you monitor social media. So I think it's just a combination of a range of issues. And you've got to remember, already, whether it's here in Australia with a variety of security agencies, or whether it's in the US with the with their NSA, I mean, governments already have access to social media. It's just about making it simpler for them.
John, thank you so much for your time this evening.
No worries. Thanks, Patricia.
That's Dr. John Coyne. He's the head of Border Security Program at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. What do you think? Should US Customs go ahead with their plan to collect social media details as part of visa screening? It's an interesting idea. Doesn't seem to me that it would work, but I'm not the expert. Dr. John Coyne also has many questions about the idea.